Our Old Testament lesson today is from Psalm 8. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. Be with us, Lord, in this time and place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're starting a sermon series on the Apostles' Creed, and this week we begin with the very first phrase. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. This gets us to asking this question, what do you believe about God? If someone were to ask you, what do you believe about God? Why do you believe that God exists? It's an important question because we live in a world of increasing atheism and practical atheism. We have lots of famous scientists and thinkers like Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris and Christopher Hitchens, all suggesting that religion does nothing but harm civilization and God does not exist. Of course, not all scientists have had a problem with science and religion. Did you know that the author of the Big Bang Theory was a Catholic priest and a cosmological physicist? I can hardly even say that. His theory opened the door to reconcile faith and science. Over the centuries, people like Isaac Newton and Blaise Pascal and Galileo, they held together their Christian beliefs and their belief in science. Many people today who deny the existence of God, they do so based on the evil and the harm they see done in the name of God. Their frustration is understandable. Terrible, terrible things have been done by people of all religions in the name of God. But there is another rising problem in the world today, something we see all the time. You just open a newspaper, you turn on the TV, you look at any media, and you see what some people would call a practical atheism. These are people who say they believe in God, and they do believe in God up here. But they live as if there is no God. No God of love, of justice, of mercy, of redemption. It's kind of a very extreme individualism and humanistic view of the world. It says the world just revolves around me. What I want. What I do. As believers, we would call this what it is. Pride, sinfulness. Christians, we espouse a different view. We believe in the one true living God who was revealed in Jesus Christ. We believe that life does not revolve around us, but around our Savior Jesus. We believe that we should not say we are Christians and then live as if that belief has nothing to do with what we say and do in our everyday lives. As Christians, our essential beliefs shape our everyday lives. And I wonder, have you ever thought about what those essential beliefs are for you? If you had to just summarize your faith in God, what kind of words would you use? What would you say? For many people, myself included, I would use some of these words of the Apostles' Creed because it's so basic about the faith. The creed was written to describe the essential beliefs of the early church. Legend has it that the Apostles' Creed began with the apostles' words at the time of Pentecost. Although we are pretty sure that the creed came much later, it does reflect the beliefs of the early church. And its structure is based on Jesus' command in Matthew 28 to go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The whole creed is Trinitarian. It goes right around, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Many Christians in the early church were not literate, so reciting things like the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments was the way they kept the faith. It was a way they knew what they believed, and they could pass that on to the next generation and the next and the next. Our denomination, the Peace USA, has a book of confessions. And it includes the Apostles' Creed and other confessions from the earliest days of the church to modern times. And many of these confessions are written in response to cultural issues or heresies within the church. A heresy being what we know is not accurate, not true about the faith. The Apostles' Creed may have been written in response to an early church heresy by Marcion, a Christian living in Rome in the second century, who believed that the Old Testament was just about a vengeful God, and the New Testament was about Jesus and the true loving God. For him, the Old Testament was not even scripture. Jesus was not the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. The only true scripture for him was the Gospel of Luke, minus any of the real Jewish parts. And the letters of Paul, minus any of the real Jewish ones. And unfortunately, many people believed this heresy. And I'd argue that today there are Christians that tend toward that belief, wanting to just throw out the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, and just keep the Gospels, keep Jesus. Around AD 180, Roman Christians developed this early form of the Apostles' Creed to refute that heresy, and it was also called the Roman Creed. What they affirmed was that the God of creation is the Father of Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was raised, buried and raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, rules with the Father, and then they affirmed their belief in the Holy Spirit, the church, and the resurrection. Candidates for membership in the early church, people who wanted to join the church and be baptized, they went through a long period of instruction, often right now, during the season of Lent, leading up to Easter. And they were asked at their baptism to state what they believed, and the Apostles' Creed was their response. This creed continued to evolve over the centuries. In response to the question of readmitting people who had denied their faith during persecution, the church added, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins." In the 4th and 5th century, North African Christians debated whether the church really included everyone who believed in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and so they added holy, meaning belonging to God, and Catholic, meaning universal. In Gaul in the 5th century, the phrase, "he descended into hell," came into the creed. By the 8th century, the creed was in its present form, and the creed that our church recites in worship, that you have inside your bulletin today, is the traditional English version, although many denominations today use a modern English version where they've changed some of the words to modernize them. It doesn't say sitteth, it says seated. It doesn't say quick, it says living. Regardless of the version, the whole creed begins with two very important words, I believe. I don't know about you, but what I believe matters. It makes a difference in my everyday life. Some of our beliefs are just a matter of preference. Sometimes we say things like, I believe that pepperoni pizza is much better than the cheese. But then there are the core beliefs that shape who we are and what we do. And it's often these pivotal life experiences that shape these beliefs. These core beliefs can lead us to do things like sacrifice for other people, give up our lives for another, work tirelessly for a great mission. But as we know, some core beliefs can shape people to do great harm. There is a core belief behind the KKK. And there is a core belief behind Mother Teresa's Sisters of Charity. And those two beliefs are not the same. Because beliefs have such power, the early church wanted to record the essential ones for everyone who followed Jesus. And we use it in worship today because it is the basics of faith. And we believe that this creed can and should shape our lives and our worship, even when we don't say it every week. The creed begins with, I believe in God. Why? Why do you believe in God? For many of us, it's like what I was talking to the kids about. We believe in God because we look around at creation and we see the evidence of God. That is what Psalm 8 is saying. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them and care for them? Have you ever been overwhelmed by the glory of God? Yes. Have you ever felt very small in this great big universe? Have you ever seen the evidence of God all around you? For me, one of those earliest experiences was in my high school youth group, and we did just go outside and put a tarp down on the ground, and the sky was beautiful and clear and full of stars, and I just remember tears flooding my eyes and this feeling just washing over me like, oh my gosh, this is our God. God did this. And somehow cares for me? It was amazing. As I was telling the kids, we often at this church talk about God sightings. We do it every summer at VBS. We have those kids stand up and talk about, where have you seen God? What is your God sighting for the week? Where have you seen the evidence of God? And for many people, it's not just the glory of creation. It's also those God incidences. I don't talk about coincidences because I don't think there are any. I think there are these God incidences. It happens so often that I lose track of them, but this week I was really paying attention when all these things just kind of started falling into place as we were moving the youth cafe here to our church. It just seemed like one thing after another just kind of fell together to help us do this mission. What are some of your God sightings? When was the last time you had one? And did you pay attention? Another reason we believe in God is because Jesus believed in God and taught us to do that. Have you ever believed something because someone you respected believed that very thing? For most of us, Jesus is that person we most respect. The creed continues with, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. We believe God is the ultimate Father. Now, why would we call God Father? Well, the most simple reason is because Jesus called God Father. Abba, Daddy. He taught us to do the same in the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus' relationship with God was personal. It wasn't abstract. That term Father was a term of endearment and respect. And it was a description of a very intimate, personal relationship, not a God who was just cold and distant out there somewhere. We also call God Father because all throughout Scripture we see these references to God as the Father of Israel. In Deuteronomy, in Jeremiah, in Hosea, we see references in the Psalms to God being the Father to the fatherless, or the Father of compassion. Now, what about people for whom the term Father God is strange or hurtful? Maybe they had a horrible earthly father, and they find it difficult to call God Father. And what about the fact that God is really beyond male or female? What do we do with that? Well, we look to the whole of Scripture and we see that there are many, many, many names for God. God is divine. God is beyond male and female. We see references to God as a mother in Deuteronomy 32, Isaiah 42, Isaiah 49, Isaiah 66. Did you know that? We see references to God as a bird, as a rock, as a tower. And there are many, many, many more images that describe who God is and what God does. We can't determine our names for God based on the people that we know. It needs to be the other way around. We don't judge God based on our human relationships. We measure our human relationships by how they measure up to God. And getting rid of the term Father for God would be taking away one of the teachings of Jesus and an aspect of the Trinity that is as old as the church. Instead, we use it, we respect it, and then we use a variety of terms and names for God in our worship and our study, and we don't limit it to only Father God. The Creed continues, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." We believe in a creator. And that starts at the very beginning of our Bible in Genesis and goes on throughout the whole entire thing. We believe in a creator of everything in the heavens and on earth. That's what Psalm 8 is all about. And do you know Psalm 19? It's a beautiful hymn of praise to the Creator God. It's one of my favorites. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There's no speech, there are no words, their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has set a tent for the sun. I think we've all seen evidence of a creator God, right? And we've all seen evidence of a creator in the organization of life on earth, have we not? In the organization and the intricacy of human life. I, at least, look at it and think, there has to be a supreme being behind all of this. What about you? Again, we come back to the Psalm 8 or the Psalm 19, the work of God's fingers, the moon and the stars, the heavens telling the glory of God. I can't even imagine believing that creation just organized itself. In the study book that I'm using by Adam Hamilton, it's called Creed. And I encourage you to get it. You can get it off of Amazon. He writes about the Apostles' Creed, and he writes about this issue of the self-organization of creation and everything that exists. He suggests this analogy when we try to decide whether it all just happened or whether there was an intelligent creator behind it all. And I love this analogy. He says, thinking that it all just happened is kind of like trying to see what would happen If you just take out cocoa, eggs, flour, sugar, and oil, and wait for it to assemble itself into a three-layer chocolate cake, you could be waiting for billions and billions of years, could you not? For Christians, God is the creator and the organizing force of everything in the universe, heavens and earth. And that belief encourages us to live in humility because we're pretty small in comparison to the universe. It also encourages us to live responsibly because Psalm 8 tells us God has made us a little lower than God and given us dominion over all the earth. In other words, we're supposed to be the good caretakers and stewards of everything that God has blessed us with in creation. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Friends, that belief changes who we are and what we do. We have a God who has this personal relationship with us and yet is this amazing creator God. May God guide us to honor and glorify our Father God and humbly and responsibly serve our Creator. Amen. Friends, I've put a piece of paper in your bulletin today that has the Apostles' Creed on it, and I put it in there so that you might circle or write a note about a part of the Apostles' Creed that you do not understand or that you would like to know more about. And then you can drop that into the offering plate today, and we'll try to address those questions as we go through the sermon series. But the Apostles' Creed is found on that piece of paper, so I encourage you now to stand and let us read it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing for hymn 658, God is so good.